You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? You just probably spent a lot of money on Christmas gifts for your family, and you're probably wondering, how can I make that money back? Well, I hope you had happy holidays, but the holidays aren't over because you can still win holiday cash at MyBookie. You need it. You know where to get it. MyBookie is the place to go to cash in on your sports predictions. Believe it or not, the holidays are over, but that still means there's plenty of parties and gifts to go around, and it also means there's lots of football, basketball, and hockey happening every day for you to score big. Man up and play like the pros on game day. You can play the money line, you can play side, you can play totals. MyBookie's got your hookup for all the betting stuff. It offers super fast payouts when you win. And if you enter the promo code LOCKEDONNBA at checkout, you can join MyBookie and receive a 50% bonus with your deposit. So that's mybookie.ag. Visit today. You play, you win, you get paid. It's the best. It makes the holidays better. Join now. That's mybookie.ag. Promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Pacers fans, welcome in to a Thursday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We are here to recap the depressing ending, to say the least, of the Pacers' 98-94 loss to the Dallas Mavericks at home. And here to do that with me, I have my former college roommate, former Dallas resident, and longtime Mavs fan, Quinn Carroll, on the other line. Quinn, how are you?
I'm good. Good. How are we doing, fellas? It's good to talk, good to talk some hoops with an old personal friend. Talk a Mavericks win, two in a row.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, too, is the old Mavs came into town on a back-to-back. I thought, all right.
Way back-to-back, nonetheless.
Yeah, a road back-to-back in Toronto, in Indy. That's a tough one. I thought, all right, the Pacers have got this. You know, Dirk's going to play 20 minutes and run slower than my dad, who just tore his meniscus. And he played well, and the Mavs won. Well, really, it was down the
street. Tonight with 15 points. It's a classic Mavs W with six players in double figures, none above 17 points.
Well, you're saying what I want you to say. What did they do well? What made them be able to pull this one out in such an interesting game?
Yeah, it was a balanced game, man. The Mavs play well when they spread the ball out. They get a lot of players scoring in double figures. No one going crazy, but you know, they really just kind of outlast you. It's a Rick Carlisle coach team, and they're going to play hard every night. And this night, they just happen to get the stops and make the points, and you know, that's all you can really say about it. No one played that well. It's hard to really explain.
I mean, Dirk did. Dirk was 7 of 10 for 15 points.
Dirk, who somehow still is in the NBA, I don't understand how he still plays, given the fact that he cannot guard anyone outside of the paint.
Yeah, I texted you in the first quarter. That was one of my biggest takeaways, is that what I was going to talk about if the Pacers were able to win is that early in the fourth, they were able to exploit Dirk's, I'm putting air quotes here, defense, and they would just go pick and pop with Sabonis, and Dirk would never get out on him, and Sabonis was canning him, and it kind of kept him afloat, and they were up 88-82, and then a mirage of Mavericks. Everyone was scoring from all over the court, and that just sealed it down the end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a – Dirk really can't guard any sort of fours in most fives, so they put him at the five so they can somewhat guard some slow centers, some less mobile centers. That's what we played so well against Toronto. They played Valanciunas the entire game, and, you know, Dirk can kind of hold in with people in the paint, but you have a Pacers team with, you know, Thad Young, who's still pretty mobile, and Miles Turner, who's very mobile, is a tough one. But I feel the Pacers didn't play that well tonight, and I think that was epitomized with that kind of last possession where they sort of threw the ball around and, you know, had a couple pick and rolls and switches that didn't really work out for them, but Not a very impressive game from the Spurs tonight, you could say the least.
But. Well, the action I thought was there. So the play was a curl screen by Turner for Kojo to dummy to the far corner, and then Collison to go down to the block if the pass was there and it wasn't, and then just throw it into Turner at the top and run a pick and pop with Bojan, and the Mavs shut it down. They played great D. They didn't switch. They held their own. I think who was in on the last possession at center? Was it Dwight Powell?
Yeah, Powell was in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's mobile and can switch, and they did a great job on that switch, and the Pacers just kept swinging it around, and nothing was there. So they tried a kind of flare screen right the second Collison caught it on the wing, and he got an okay look. It was crappy for how long it took to get it, and he – former Maverick.
He's pretty much – Collison. Yeah, a former Maverick great, Darren Collison.
and he clunked
had a nice cup of coffee with the Mavericks, but
one season,
in a perpetually weird Mavericks roster where it's turned over every 12 months. You know, he's got new faces, and it's good to see him stick somewhere. You know, obviously, he has some trouble in Sacramento, and seems like he's playing decent ball with Indianapolis, but
he is. So when I look, you said it earlier that it was kind of a weird back and forth kind of game, and I looked through the box score. You know, the Mavs, 67% from the line, 28% from three, only 26 assists. You know, they lost the rebounding battle. I'm like, okay, the Pacers had to have won this game. They shot better from the line. They shot better from three. They barely shot worse from the field, but the Mavs won, and it was not even that it was an efficiency thing. It's just that they never turn over the ball.
Yeah, and that's just your average Rick Carlisle team. I mean, it's a bunch of misfits, players who probably shouldn't be in the league, but they play hard every night, and you get guys like Maxi Kleber who will give you good rebounds. He had a great game last night against Toronto. Can spread the floor a little bit. Solid measure being effective in the 7 minutes he played, 5-4. But, you know, the team just grinds it out every single day. And they're a bad team by all things considered. But every single night they're out there grinding it out every single night. And that just kind of wears on you, you know. It wears on teams, and it's the middle of the season. It's, you know, two teams that are – one's bad and one's decent, but no one's playing for any championships here, I would say. So it's – you know, that can catch some people off guard. You know, you play sloppy and you lose to an 11-25 team. Who's 3-14 on the road. So
you got to hand. Yeah. Dwight Powell was great in this one. You got to hand it to him for being a plus 13 in only 22 minutes. I just think his speed and energy were a little much for the slower Pacer centers on a back to back. And I liked his minutes. He doesn't do anything particularly well. He just cuts to the rim really hard, and he's really good at the dive. So like, Dennis Smith or Yogi gets the rim and go up, and their shot's contested, but Dwight Powell's cutting to the rim right then as they're shooting, so they just drop the ball off to him, and he had two dunks on that exact play in the third quarter. But let's transition to the man of the night, Lance Stephenson, for the Pacers. Outside of his four turnovers, which, I mean, you're going to get four turnovers from Lance if he plays over 30 minutes. Absolutely amazing game from Lance. What'd you think of him?
Yeah, I mean, he is a known Mavs killer. 16-15 and 5 as well. You know, he's that big guard. And when the Mavs play these sort of smaller two guards, whether it be Yogi and Dennis or Yogi and J.J. Barea or Devin Harris and J.J. Barea, you know, you're going to have – you got a big physical two guard like Lance is and an aggressive in the paint. You know, he's gonna get those boards. He's going to sort of set the tempo for the game. And especially with Oladipo being out, it's pretty much on him to sort of create the offense for the Pacers tonight. And I think he did so to the best of ability, but just came a little bit short tonight, unfortunately.
Yeah, we can talk some X's and O's and no Oladipo now. So without Depot, you know, with Lance, it's like I said, the four turnovers is bad, but given that he played so much, I would say it's just like how he is. You know, one every 9 minutes isn't awful for him. But I think the biggest trouble is that the Pacers were forced to run pick and roll with, you know, Collison or Stevenson or even Joe Young, who got 13 minutes in this game. And those guys just weren't as good at facilitating, even with Dirk having to hedge on some pick and rolls. They just couldn't quite get it done in the way Oladipo's killer instinct has carried the Pacers so far this year.
Yeah. And I mean, an athletic, really athletic kind of wing player like Oladipo would have killed the Mavs tonight. The Mavs are not a very athletic team. Wes Matthews playing with, you know, half an Achilles. you know, Dirk being out there on stilts 90% of the time. It's a team that gets taken advantage of athletic guards. I think you saw that at least last night with Toronto. You saw it a little bit tonight with Lance, who is taking advantage of some mismatches down low with the undersized guards. But, yeah, you know.
Yeah, and then without Depot too, they had more trouble creating just in general on the three ball. You know, no one took more than five. No one shot over 40% besides – hilariously, Joe Young. And one thing they countered with, that if Depot had played, this wouldn't have worked at all, but the Mavs went to a zone twice. So when Dirk's in at center and they have the Barnes at the four thing, they didn't think they'd match up. And I agree, Carlisle didn't think they'd match up well with the Pacers, so they ran a zone. And the first play the Pacers ran out of the zone was floppy, which, for those of you that don't know, and I don't know if Quinn knows, so I'll just keep talking. It's when a shooter stands under the basket with post men on each block, and they curl out to either wing trying to get the three. And it doesn't work when against a zone because they can just slide over and stop it because they're not guarding the ball at the top. And it didn't work at all, and they turned it over. And the second possession, they ran some nonsense, and it ended up with a prayer Joe Young three that went in. But the zone was really effective in that stretch at the end of the first and early second when it was in. Was a lot of when Joe Young was in, and he was a minus seven. So that zone really killed him.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point, too, with the Pacers. You have two – you have Thad Young, who played 35 minutes, who's could do a little bit of both, but he's definitely a physical, bigger, stronger four than, you know, when you match up with Harrison Barnes, who's much more naturally a three. Same thing, you have, you know, Miles Turner's a very athletic five, and you play those guys together against Dirk and Barnes, you know, they can't guard those guys one-on-one. So you got to kind of switch to a zone and sort of play to your strengths or sort of minimize your weaknesses, which I think the Mavs did a good job of. And, again, that's, you know, Carlisle's claim to fame is being able to sort of take these mismatched sort of puzzle pieces of players and in a weird sort of surgical way make it all work and win a couple games, not a lot of games this year, but win a few games. And
we miss Carlisle in Indiana, that's for sure.
He's a great coach, you know. He is going to be a Jerry Sloan kind of coach for the Mavs. I think Cuban is going to play. He's going to give him the contract every single year. He's got that sort of, you know, wish of he's got Mark Cuban's blessing that he's going to be the head coach, and he can, you know, struggle with them through these next couple of years where they go and have these top picks and, you know, finish second or second to last in the in the West. And, you know, he's just going to keep – he knows the system. He's got his way of coaching, and, you know, that requires some talented and skilled players, but he's still going to get these wins like this where he just grinds it out every single night. And, you know, the Mavs can shoot 28% from three and 66% from the field from the free throw line and still win a game against a pretty solid Indiana team. So,
yeah, you know, Carlisle won 61 games in Indiana. We've all seen him cater to some good Pacers teams, yeah. Even though it was right during the brawl, tough yeah. times. But
he was there for that, man. I mean, he's a good manager of you know, head cases and talents, and can, you know, kind of put these things together. So, you know,
yeah, he figured out the solution to beating the Oladipo list way faster than the Mavs Pacers. So I'll tip the cap to him in this one. You know, that zone. Barea Harris, those spread guys up top, you know, slow guys yeah. on the bottom. It worked. It really killed them down the stretch at the end of the first. And that, you know, it's hard to analyze that as the tipping point because the ending was so bad. You know, they were up 88-82. Yeah. The Pacers were with 6 minutes to go. But that 7-point swing in the Joe Young minutes against the zone really are what it was for me.
Yeah. I mean, they killed them in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's 7-point, you know, advantage to the Mavs in the fourth. And that's where Carlisle makes his money. You know, it's these situational sort of games, and he finds the right people to play and the right zones. In this case, a zone to run or defense to run. So he was, earned his keep tonight. And, you know, you really have to think the Pacers didn't really take advantage of a bad team on their schedule at home. So
they needed to. They'll be back in Dallas on February 26th. Hopefully Oladipo can play in that one. Who knows if the teams will be the same after the trade deadline. Maybe Nerlens Noel will be back by then. Who knows? A lot of intrigue around that
situation. Yeah, I mean, the Nerlens situation is interesting, man. You know, he is clearly out of favor with the Mavs and seems to be in a no-man's land. NBA team again.
Yeah, I'll give you credit. I was harping on him all summer for not signing him to a long-term deal, but they look really smart right now.
Yeah, I mean, and that's you got to give it to Cuban in the front office. They have sort of failed the last couple of years trying to keep the quote-unquote powder dry. And, you know, throwing Nerlens Noel $100 million seems like a pretty bad decision now. And glad they didn't make that decision. So as he is a clear just – let's just go have surgery so you don't have to you have an excuse to not play as opposed to every single press conference having to talk about what's wrong with Nerlens Noel. So,
well, now we know it's an injury, but Quinn, man, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate it, Tony. Thanks so much. And, you know, best of luck to the Pacers down the stretch. We, I think they could, you know, sneak in there in the 8th seed. It's a decent squad. And Oladipo's obviously playing a a great year this year. So,
yeah, we're all hopeful for that 8 seed, of course. Hopefully these back-to-back losses are just a small hiccup. Hopefully they beat the Bulls Friday. We'll have a preview out on Friday, probably with Adam. He's on vacation, so it's going to be a little rough. You can follow me at TEastNBA. Quinn, where can people follow you on Twitter? I want to know if anyone follows
you. People can follow me at Quinn_and_tonic.
Let's go.
I love all-time Twitter name.
Gin and tonic puns we needed today after that game.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's never good to lose to the Mavs. And I'm a little upset the Mavs won. It's just two in a row against two above 500 teams.
They're taking themselves away from Doncic, man.
Yeah, I mean, God, if we draft Doncic. That's another conversation for another time.
We'll do that podcast when it happens, man. All right, I'll let you get out of here, man. See ya.
See you, man.